All right. It is a blessing to have all of you here tonight. Again, I'm Pastor Joel, and I get to pastor here at Great Hope Baptist Church, and we're thrilled that you're here with us again tonight. The young people presented this Christmas story, and they emphasized this gift that was given. And of course, that gift was Jesus Christ. They made that very clear. And the verse that they kept quoting, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And what a good job they did of presenting that. This gift, as they mentioned in the program, is a gift that is unspeakable in the sense that we can't fully understand how great this gift was. We can talk about it, we can try and wrap our heads around it, but we cannot get how great this gift was. This gift is beyond our understanding. And why is it so special? Why is it so great? What was so important about what God did at Christmas time for us? Well, think about it. The God that existed eternally came in Bethlehem in a human form that he might live a sinless life, that he might go to a cross in our place, that he might be able to give us eternal life. That's what's so unspeakable about this gift. We can't fathom what he's done for us in this gift. It's an unspeakable gift. He did this so we can have a relationship with him. I wonder tonight, I ask a lot of people this question. I wonder tonight, if I were to ask you, not the person beside you, not your husband, not your wife, not your relatives, not the neighbor, but you, if I were to ask you, how is your relationship with God? What would your answer be? God's done all of this that we can have a relationship with him. Well, how is your relationship with him? I get a lot of answers to that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've heard it's a long-distance relationship. I've heard all kinds of things. But really, this relationship with God is so very important. And we can, according to the Bible, know that we have a relationship with God. So how can we do that? Well, I remember one time as a young man, I was probably 17 years of age, and I was in a Bible class. I went to a Christian school, and I went to a Bible class, and the principal that was teaching that class talked that day about eternity. And he was talking about it in a good way. He said, "Can you imagine how great heaven will be? It'll never end. There's no sense in which it'll stop. We could talk to somebody for 10,000 years. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And then he said something else, and he didn't mean it to get after me. He said, "But think about if you don't go to heaven. Think about how that 10,000 years would be in the other direction. If you're not in God's presence, you're separated from God, and that doesn't ever end." Well, that scared me to death, as you might imagine. And I went and found my dad, and I finally that day trusted Jesus Christ as my relationship. That's as my Savior. That's where my relationship began. If I were to ask you, how's your relationship? If I ask you, how can you have a relationship with God? If I came to your office that day and asked you, "Hey, I'm worried, how can I have a relationship with God?" What would your answer be? The Bible does teach us how we can have a relationship with God. And I'd like to just in the few minutes we have together share that with you. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." You know what's really cool about that is God knows how to have a relationship with him. He's provided for you, and he wants you to know that. He wants you to understand how we can have a relationship with him. And that's one of the reasons we have this matter of Christmas. God wants you to know. God wants you to have eternal life. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. There's a couple things we need to know about God if we're going to have a relationship with him. We need to know, first of all, that God is holy. Now, that's one of those Bible terms we may not fully grasp, but what it really means is that God is set apart from sin. That's a wonderful thing. Don't you want to have a holy God, a God who's not tainted by sin or not wrong ever? That's what God is. God's completely set apart from sin. Of course, in fact, it's so strong it is, Habakkuk 1:13 tells us, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." He cannot in any way tolerate sin because he's separate from it. But that creates a bit of a problem. What is sin? The Bible also gives us that answer. It says it's the transgression of the law. What is the law? Well, the law really is a reflection of who God is. God gave us the Ten Commandments, and there's just a few of them that you might think about that you realize, wait a minute, there's more than just meets the eye. It's more than just God saying, don't do this. It's also about God saying, look at who I am. Think about the fact that God says that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, he's saying that because he is unique and set apart. He's alone as God, and there's nobody else, nothing else that should come between us. But if we're honest tonight, we all know of some things that have come between us and God. Maybe some things that we've put before him. God talks about wedding vows, and he says not to commit adultery. And the bigger picture behind that is that God is a faithful God. So we don't, when we're not faithful, we're offending that holy nature. God says, thou shalt not lie. Now, I don't know anybody that hasn't broken that one at some point in your life. But why is that so offensive to God? Because he is truth. So we continually sin. We come up short. The Bible says that for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That coming short means we've missed that mark. So if we lie, we've missed the mark of truth. If we're unfaithful, we've missed the mark of faithfulness. If we do any of those things, we're missing the mark. We're falling short of the glory of God. That puts us in a situation, that puts us in a dilemma, because God, who is a God of absolute perfection, can't have a relationship with people that are not holy. I had the privilege this last year, to go to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? It's awe-inspiring. We drove into the Grand Canyon, and the first stop there, you look out and you see nothing but canyon. We left that point and we drove 30 miles to where our hotel was. Guess what was all along the whole 30-mile drive? The canyon. And still, when we got to the hotel at the end of the 30 miles, we still couldn't see the end of it. It's unfathomable how big this canyon is. So let's imagine just for a moment that you and I are standing there at that canyon. And by the way, I don't get anywhere near the edge of that canyon. That thing's over a mile deep. I stayed back for safety, okay? Anyway, we go to the canyon. Let's imagine we're standing there, and we decide, you know what? We're going to go to the other side. Let's just take a hop. Let's hop, a skip, and a jump. We're going to the other side. How many of you think you're going to make it to the other side? Nobody. Now, you might be here, and you might be a lot faster than me, a lot more athletic, and you might jump, what, 2 or 3 feet further, but you're not getting across the canyon. You know, the problem with a relationship with God is he's so absolutely holy and we're sinful and we can try all we want and we're not spanning that gap. There's no way we're going to span that. God is holy, and that creates a bit of a problem for us, but it gets even worse, I hate to tell you. God is also just. We've all sinned, but God is just. Not only can God not tolerate your sin, God cannot go without punishing sin. He has to punish it because he's just. Well, if we've all sinned, we stand there in position to be punished for it. Well, what is God's punishment for sin? Well, the Bible tells us it's death. For the wages of sin, the payment of sin, is death. That's why we have such a thing as death. That's the penalty. That's God's standard. That's what happens to us. It's why death is such a reality in our life. Because of those sins, we also have a destiny. There's a verse in the Bible I hate to read, I'll be honest with you. It's Revelation 21:8. Listen in as I read it. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you realize that's man's destination because of sin? Now, you may look at that list and you say, Pastor Joel, I am way better than all of those things. And I hope you are, by the way. I mean, we may not fall in all of these abominable and sorcerers and that kind of stuff. That's great. But he mentioned murderers. I hope there's none of those here. But he also mentioned something else, and that's liars. If you're a murderer today, you might not have to commit very many of those to be considered a murderer, do you? If you committed one, we would say that person's a murderer. Well, guess what? He says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. How many lies have you spoken? In fact, if I were to lie to you right now, and you go and talk to somebody else when you get home, guess what you're going to say? That Pastor Joel's a liar. Not only one lie. Well, the same is true with our relationship with God. One lie is enough to keep us from a relationship with him. And he cannot go without punishing these sins. It's bad, bad, bad news. God's just. He cannot overlook sin. He's holy. He's separate from sin. Again, it's not good news, but there is good news, and we heard about it tonight. God is also love. God is love and loving, and we are loved. God displayed his love in providing a way that we can have a relationship with him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, the kids quoted it to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves you, and he's provided a way that you can have a relationship with him. He does this through his son. God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, who is his son? Well, remember we talked about this one born in Bethlehem that we celebrate at Christmas is this one that is God eternally, but he took on human flesh. This is God in the flesh. And he came for a reason. He came to be our substitute. God has to punish sin, and God provided his own substitute. Think about that for a minute. God says, I have to do something with sin. And so he took on flesh that he might become our substitute and stand in our place. Think about it. My sin's over here on this hand, and it has to be punished. And Jesus Christ comes along and says, I'll step in your way, and I'll take it so you don't have to pay it. He comes to be our substitute. And when he comes as our substitute, he, as the just, dies for the unjust. And he does it so that he might give us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I'm over here and I'm sinful and I deserve separation from God. Jesus steps in my way and keeps me from that as my substitute, but he also gives me his righteousness. What was it that we needed to have a relationship with God? He's holy. We need righteousness. And Jesus says, I'll take your sin penalty and I'll give you righteousness so you can have a relationship with God. Think about that. That is love. That's love beyond our understanding. He's so very loving to us, and he does this. Not only does Jesus stand in as our substitute, but he pays for all of our sins. We have a teacher here that used to have the kids give examples of sins they'd committed and then tell them to put that there on the cross. And Jesus took all of those sins to the cross and paid for them in full. Now, all the things that Jesus is, when this exchange is completed, we get. So he's righteous. He has a relationship with God. He's able to live with God forever. He's able to stand in the presence of God. And he gives that to us, and he takes our sinfulness. It's an amazing love. And how on earth do we get this exchange? How do we get this final payment put on our account? Well, God is gracious. This is the fourth thing we need to remember, is that God is gracious. In his grace, he has offered this to us. God's offer is that if we accept, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do we get this exchange? We accept it. Now, we had a scene tonight where somebody was giving somebody a gift. Now, that basketball does zero good if the other person doesn't receive it, right? You know, the same thing is true with God's offer. He offers it to you, he gives it to you, but if we don't accept it, it does no good. So he offers this by grace. And man has the decision whether we'll accept it or not. We have to accept it by faith. It is a decision that has to be made to trust in him. You may be here tonight and you say, Pastor Joe, I've heard all of this before. I know all about Jesus dying. I know all about his resurrection. I know all about my sins. I know all about his righteousness. And you may know all that, but if we just know it in our heads, it does us no good. It's like the gift card we never use. It has no use, no value. Jesus Christ offers this to us, and we have to accept it. We have to accept it by faith. When we apply it by faith, we depend and we trust on the finished work of Jesus. We have to understand a few things to accept it. We have to understand that we're sinners, and God is holy, and he can't accept it. We have to agree that because of our sins, we ought to be separated from God. And then we have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and place our dependence upon him. When you came here tonight, you sat in a pew or a chair, whatever you want to call it. When you sat down on that, you gave your 100% confidence and trust that that seat was going to hold you up. Let's pretend that seat that you're sitting in there is your righteousness and all the good things that you do in life, right? The great things that you want credit for. And you say, well, I'm trusting myself to get to heaven. I'm trusting what I've done. And you're resting in that seat. How are we going to be able to get to a place where we're depending upon Jesus' work? We've got to get out of that seat and get in and trust in his seat. There's two chairs there. We can either keep trusting ourselves or we can depend upon him. The choice is up to ours, but the results of that choice are unfathomable. One is eternal life in heaven with God. The other one is eternal separation from God. So what do we do with Jesus? Again, he gave us, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He wants to give us this righteousness so we can have a relationship, but we've got to accept it by faith. We've got to depend upon it by faith. So my question is tonight, have you ever accepted this gift of eternal life? Do you remember a time, like I have at 17 years old, that I knew I was in trouble if I trusted myself? Has there been a time when you realized, wait a minute, my sin's serious and God doesn't joke around about it? Has there ever been a time when you realized the very best I can do is just keep being a sinner doing good stuff? But God offers righteousness. Have you ever turned to him? Do you remember a time where you turned and trusted him for salvation? If there's not been that time, unfortunately, the Bible tells us our destination is separation from God in a place called hell. But Jesus came to offer forgiveness of that sin, came to offer you his righteousness, came to offer you eternal life. But what will you do with him? The choice is up to you. Nobody can make the choice for you. I can't make the choice for you. But we need to make the choice. I'm told on the Niagara River, there is a point of no return. If you're going down that Niagara River, let's pretend you're there in your little kayak, and you're going down the Niagara River, you're having a wonderful time, and you're just cruising down the river, and you start to notice at some point, you know what, I'm going a little faster than I intend to. You're going down the road there, and you can't seem to stop the stream there, and you can't seem to pull back, and you realize, wait a minute, I've crossed the point of no return on the Niagara River. If you go past this point of no return, they tell us you'll never be able to get up enough strength to get back up the river, and you're going to be taken down over the falls. Imagine you're there, you're rowing, and you realize, I seem to be losing control, I'm going towards the falls, and you start paddling. And you notice you're giving it all you got, and you're only losing ground. You're giving it everything you have, but yet you're still moving towards the falls. And you paddle a little harder, a little faster, you put a little more grit into it, and you see you're still losing ground. You know what, in life, if we continue to try ourselves, we're just losing ground towards that destruction that's waiting for us because of our sin. Imagine there on that river, there's somebody along the side that decides they have pity upon you and they throw you the rope. They see you're going over and they say, here's a rope, and they throw the rope. Now you have a decision to make. You can either keep paddling and go over the falls to destruction, or you can stop depending upon yourself and take the rope. Has there been a time in your life where you've taken the rope that Jesus is throwing you? Has there been a time where you've trusted him? If there's not, there needs to be a time. If you're here and you're concerned about it, I would love to meet with you after this service. If you're here and you're concerned, maybe you don't know how your relationship really is, I'd be thrilled to do a Bible study with you and show you how you can know that you've taken the rope and trusted Jesus Christ. God's holy, can't accept our sin. God's just, he has to punish it, but he's loving and he's provided a full payment for it. And by grace, he offers it to us if we'll accept it by faith. Have you accepted that gift? Let's stand together. And we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you while we have this word of prayer, if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Joel, I'm not sure I've ever done that. I don't remember a time where I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're here like that tonight, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm just going to try and help you. are here tonight and you don't know if there's ever been a time? Is there anybody like that here this evening? How many of you here tonight would say, Pastor Joel, without any doubt, I'm 100% sure that if I were to die today, I would be spending eternity with God in heaven. Not based on anything I've done, but on what Jesus Christ has done. How many of you were like that? Can you raise your hands? All right, amen. There's a few that can't raise their hands here tonight. Listen, if you're here and you couldn't raise your hand, I'm going to be in that lobby on your way out. Please stop and talk to me. Love to help you with this decision. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for what it means, this unspeakable gift where God took on flesh that he might die in our place. And Lord, I thank you that he did that he might offer us salvation, paid in full. Lord, tonight I pray for those here that couldn't raise their hands. Those that are here that are unsure, I pray that you would help them seriously consider what eternity without Christ means. And I pray that they'd come and seek one of us out to help tonight. I pray for those believers that are here tonight. Lord, would you help us to make sure this Christmas we're remembering what it's all about and we're sharing that message with those around us. Well, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.